Luke 18:1. I want to talk to you. We talk about prayer. We talk about we don't too much talk about how to pray. We talk about praying. And a lot of people do say they pray, but you know, a lot of people don't even really know how to pray. And so tonight, I'd like to just teach you a few minutes about how to pray, but not of generality. I want to teach specific prayer, okay? And you know the verse, Luke 18:1, Jesus is preaching, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint or give up. Don't give up. Don't faint. Don't fall out. But pray. Mankind, we as believers, should always pray. Every day, all day long. For some reason, people think that prayer, they think that prayer is a religious ceremony. And it's not. It is a relationship of a child talking to their father. And so, if you'll get that out of your head, it's not a religious ceremony. And you'll hear these sermons and lessons and read things about 12 steps of prayer, you know, and they take the Lord's Prayer, and a lot of times they'll just quote it. Well, that wasn't meant to be quoted as your prayer. That was just an outline of a prayer that we're supposed to do. Praise your Father. Thank Him for your daily bread, you know. Ask Him for what you need. They'll take these things, there's 18 steps of prayer. Well, there's not but one step, and that's get on your knees and talk. That's how you pray. Prayer, John R. Rice one time, one of my heroes, he wrote a book on asking and receiving. And I didn't think you could write that much about prayer. That book's about that thick. And I'm talking about good teaching. And he said prayer is asking. That's it. That's how simple it is. Prayer is asking. And so tonight I thought, well, if that's what it is, how do we ask? How do we pray? And I thought just about six little things here I wanted to show you. Number one prayer you have to make is for salvation, because the other prayers ain't going up until this one gets through. Because God does not hear the request of somebody else's children. Now, if I'm in a store and some kid comes up and says, buy me that bicycle, I'm going to say, talk to your parents. Don't talk to me. I'm not your daddy. I'm not buying you nothing. And so God looks at us. There's two families. There's a family of God, and there's a family of the devil, if you're one or the other. And so so in order to become part of this family, you have to be born again. You've got to get adopted into the family. So Jeremiah 29:12 is how you pray to be saved, for salvation. Look at it with me. Jeremiah 29:12-13. And I want you to mark these in your Bible. And when you're talking about somebody praying to be saved, there's formulas for that too. You don't need a formula. This is all people have to know to be saved. Look at Proverbs 29:12-13. I said Jeremiah, and I'm looking at my note, looking at the Proverbs. I'm sorry. It's Jeremiah 29:12-13. Now, he says, then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Romans 10:19, thou shalt believe in thine heart on the Lord Jesus. Now, so he's saying prayer, a heartfelt prayer, is how you get saved. There's not a formula. Some people say, well, you know, you got to pray the sinner's prayer. No, you don't. All you got to do is say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I believe Jesus died for me. I believe He rose from the dead. I'm asking you to save me the best way I know how. There's no formula. With your heart, all your heart, you turn. Did you know, as a matter of fact, there were people saved in the Bible who never said a prayer out loud. They believed and they were saved. Jesus would do a miracle for them, and they'd go away believers. And I don't have time to get into that tonight. But look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 58. Now, how do you pray to get saved? With all your heart. When you seek Him, with your whole heart, your whole heart. And so if you're seeking Him with your whole heart to be saved, you're going to pray with your whole heart. You're not going to hide nothing. You're going to say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I ought to go to hell. If anybody ought to go to hell, it ought to be me. That's your whole heart. I believe Jesus died for me. That's your whole heart. See? And then Psalm 119, look at verse 58. Verse 58, Psalm 119. I entreated thy favor with my, what? Whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. So, if somebody wants to know how to be saved, you say, pray with your whole heart. Mean it. Your whole heart. Because the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So therefore, if you're praying and what's coming out of your heart is a heartfelt, sincere prayer, you may not... I didn't know one Bible verse. I didn't know a hymn. I didn't know anything. I didn't know nothing about church or ceremonies or Christianity. All I knew was I was a sinner, and if I got what I deserved, I was going to go to hell. And that day I poured out my whole heart to Him. And my heart started pouring out as soon as I got out of that pew and started walking down that aisle. Before I ever prayed, Brother Ron, my heart was already pouring out. God knew what was coming out of my heart. I didn't even have to say it with my lips. He already knew what was in my heart. And by the time I got that prayer room, I was already saved and didn't even know it. Because it was my whole heart I was seeking Him. I wasn't holding back nothing. I had held back. Lord, you know when I quit this, I'll get saved. Lord, when I quit being like this, I'll get saved. Lord, when I quit running around this crowd, I'll get saved. Well, that's holding back. That ain't your whole heart. They were holding part of my heart. But that day I said, I don't care if I lose every friend I've got. That's what my heart was saying. I don't care if I lose everything I got. That's what my heart was saying. And so when somebody prays to get saved, I can just about tell you the ones that meant it and the ones that didn't. Now, I'm not judging people, and I know little old kids don't have the same experience, old hardened-hearted sinners like some of us were when we got saved. I know that. But, you know, a lot of people, they'll go through the form, you know, the ABC, admit you're a sinner, believe on Christ, confess it with your mouth, and they'll ask the Lord to save them, and they'll get up and they'll leave out of here, and you'll never see them again because they didn't mean it with their whole heart. There was something happened. They got money trouble, or they got relationship trouble, or they got law trouble, or drug problems, or alcohol problems, or something. So they thought they could just run down the aisle and call on the Lord to save them, but they wasn't wanting to be saved from their sins. They wasn't giving their whole heart. They wasn't giving up their sins. They just wanted Him to take their problems. See, that's not your whole heart. But if you're going to be saved, you're going to have to ask with your whole heart. You've got to pray with your whole heart. Now, look at Hebrews 10:22. Hebrews 10:22. Look at that. Now, we need to pray after we get saved for some stuff too. I actually heard, I think it was a deacon. I don't really remember, but I think it was a deacon. But I actually heard a man in church say this one time. He said, I don't think you should ask God for anything but one time. That's what he said. He said, because you ask Him and He said He would and that settles it. I said, no, why would He say that we ought not, that we ought to always to pray? Why would He say that we ought to ask and ask and ask and ask? I said, sometimes God makes us ask more than one time. He said, well, then you're doubting God. I said, no, God hadn't worked yet. I'm calling on Him, trying to remind Him, you know. I'm not trying to tell Him what to do, but I sure am asking Him over and over and over and over. Now, Jesus even told a story of an unjust judge and a widow lady, and she wouldn't leave him alone. And her husband died, and a crook neighbor took her property from her because her husband was dead. And Jesus said that she went to this judge and asked him, will you get my property back? And that judge said, I don't fear God nor man, lady. Leave me alone. I'll do what I do. And she went back, and he said no, and she went back, and he said no, and she went back. And he said, because of her importunity, that means she wouldn't give up, he finally said, take your land and get away from me. I don't want to see you no more. And sometimes God wants us to do that. Now look at Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith. I'm already saved. I'm in full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, we know that's the water of the Spirit, the water of the Word. But he said, let us draw near with a true heart. Now, that's prayer. Sometimes we, and we ought to do it. Everybody ought to. We ought to pray for right living. We ought to pray for right living. Some people think because they got saved, it's all over. It's done. I don't have to worry about nothing else. I'm fine. No, sir. No, sir. You're going to be in a heap of trouble. You're going to get in a lot of trouble thinking that way. We need to pray for right living. We need to pray that God will help us do what we have to do, having our heart sprinkled from a what? An evil conscience. Now, if we're going to keep a clear conscience, we're going to have to pray. Because every one of us is prone to sin. And when we do sin, our conscience is pricked because it's evil. So therefore, we've got to pray for right living. Not many people pray about that kind of stuff anymore, do they? Amen. Amen. Look at Psalm 56:9. Psalm 56:9. Talking about prayer, asking God, always asking. Always, he says, ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't fall out. Men ought always to pray. There's never a time when we ought not to pray. That's right. I've been invited places and I say, y'all going to have alcohol? And they say, yeah, we want you to ask the blessing on the meal. I say, I can't. I can't ask the blessing on the alcohol. It's part of your meal. Well, you ain't got to drink it. I know, but that's one time I ought not pray because the Bible says, cursed is the man that puts strong drink to his neighbor's lips. Now, look here. In Psalm 56:9, when I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is with me. Look at Psalm 86:7. I'll read it to you. 86:7. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon me, for thou wilt answer me. Mine enemies shall turn back. This I know, for God is for me. He's not against me. I like that. Whenever we're in time of trouble, we need to pray. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been attacked since I've been saved. Maybe you hadn't. Maybe you've been better than I have. Maybe you're a better Christian or something. I don't know. But most of us get attacked. Sometimes we deserve it. David did. David deserved the attacks. But he knew God was with him. And he knew to pray and God would deliver him. And he knew God would protect him. And he knew God would turn the enemy back. And boy, I tell you what, I've had to pray many times, say, God, get these people off of me. God, get this guy off of me. God, get this woman off of me. God, get these people away from me. I've prayed that before. If you ain't prayed it, you ain't never had no enemies. And listen, I don't know about you, but the Bible doesn't say we won't have enemies. He says, but we'll be at peace with our enemies. And he says, be at peace with all men, if at all possible. So it ain't always possible. There's that clause, if it's possible. It's not always possible. And listen, you take a stand and the devil won't like you. And the devil's crowd won't like you. And they will attack you. Now, it may just be with that yap, backbiting, gossiping, you know, rumors and lies and all that stuff. That may be what it is. But they can destroy you with that. They can. They can destroy you with that. Or it may be a loss of a job or loss of a friendship or loss of a family member or loss of property. When Satan's people attack us, we've got to pray and pray with our whole heart and pray during our time of attack. Don't wait till it's over and say, Lord, thank you for bringing me through it. Say, Lord, stop it. Stop it, because he will bring you through it. And I've had enemies turn around and apologize to me later on. Turn around and apologize. But I'm telling y'all, and the country we live in now, it ain't easy being a Christian like it used to be. You will be attacked. They'll call you everything from a racist to homophobic and I don't know what all they call us now. It used to be fanatic, things like that. I don't mind that term fanatic. You know, they're fanatic about NASCAR and beer and everything else. I'd rather be a fanatic about Jesus. But now they'll call you dirty names. I had one look at me when I worked the public job in the warehouse one day, a little black man. He said, you're a bigot. He didn't know nothing about me. He didn't know nothing about me. He'd never been to my house. I'd never treated him bad. He just thought since I was a fundamental Christian, I must be a bigot because somebody told him that's what we are. And I told him in front of people. I said, you don't know nothing about me. Back then, I said, I'm picking up 20, 30 black kids every Sunday and taking them to Sunday school and children's church with me and having fun with them there and on the way home. What are you doing? How many did you take to church this Sunday? I said, some of them call me Papa. I said, I got two big old black boys, Quentin and Clinton. What their name? Quentin and Clinton. Big old boys, played football at Northwestern High School. I said, they look like my bodyguards. I said, they call me Daddy Roddy sometimes. I said, they ain't got nobody. And so sometimes we're attacked, not because they know us, but because of what we stand for. See, they don't know nothing about us. They never been to our house. They don't know how we treat our wife, our kids, your husband, your brother, your sister. They don't know nothing about that. They don't know where you go to church. They've never been to church with you. If they had, they'd have been shocked and embarrassed that they would even attack you. See? So we have to pray during our attacks. Now, stand up, Rick. You how tall are you? 6 foot? No, you're taller than 6'2". I'm 6'2". You're taller than I am. Ain't he taller than me? He ain't? Huh? I'm being attacked. I'm being attacked. I thought you was taller than me. Well, you better look than I am. Sit down. But you'd think somebody our size, people wouldn't mess with us. But they do. Now, in our case, it's mostly this. But I've seen people physically attacked because of their faith. And I've seen churches attacked because of their faith. You know what we're supposed to do? Now, I know this ain't going to sound good to some men, but it didn't say run out and buy a gun, Brother Danny. I guess the Lord knew you already had it. Well, you go ahead and get your gun. I'm going to pray. I'm like that old sermon somebody preached one time. Somebody go get God. You go get your gun. I'll go get God while you're getting your gun. I ain't worried about no stinking gun. I'm going to pray that God intervenes in my attacks because he says, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know. For God is for me. Amen. I'm on the winning side, man. I wish I could sing that song. I'm on the winning song. Winning side, huh? What? Winning side. I'm on the winning side. All right, let's go on. Here's what we need right now. Most of you know this verse, but I want you to turn there anyway. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Don't want you to misquote it, and I'm bad about leaving a word or two out. In verse 14, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name. What's his name? Jesus what? And we're called what? Christians. If shall humble themselves, and what's that word? And pray. And the next part says, this is part of prayer. Seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, well, when? When you have a rally? No, when you pray and seek his face. Oh, when you vote in the right president? No, when you pray and seek his face. Oh, I know what it is. Whenever we all get together and have a unity meeting. No, it's whenever you pray and seek his face, humble yourself, turn from your sin, and then God will hear from heaven and then will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now, we need to pray during national trouble. And boy, we're in it. We got two heathens debating tonight. Heathens, that's all they are. And I know God can use a heathen to take care of his people. He's done it many times before. And really don't matter who gets to be president, we still going to have the same Savior. We've still got the same Lord. We've got the same God. We've got access to the same throne room. That won't change anything. But it could make it a little bit easier for us here in our country with our children, our grandchildren in the churches and things like that. So what we need to do, we don't need to get on the Trump train. We need to get on our knees. Amen. Amen. We don't need to get on the Hillary horse. We need to get on our knees. Amen. And seek his face and pray. And by the way, he says, turn from your wicked ways. Now, you're not going to get on your face and pray and seek his face until you turn from your wicked ways. Because that's part of the turning. That's repentance. See? And dear National, I'll give it to old Graham, Franklin Graham. And I'll be honest with you, I like Franklin Graham better than I liked his daddy, to be honest with you. His daddy was a good man. I'm not saying anything bad about him, but I'm saying as far as his preaching and his boldness, he's got more of it. And he's went to every state in America to the Capitol steps and held a prayer meeting this year for our nation. Every state on the continent, he's went and held a prayer meeting, and thousands of people turn out. Don't you let anybody tell you that Christianity is dead. They're lying to you. That's the news media telling you that. Trump's right about them. They're lying. Christianity's live and well in the United States of America. And what we need to do is get on our face. That's what we need to do. And let them debate, let them fuss and fight all they want to. In the end, God, our sovereign God, that means he's all powerful. Our sovereign God will determine the destiny of his people. I'm telling you, we need to pray during national trouble. And then, here's one. I wish some people's here tonight. They're always saying pray. James 5. There's always people in church every Sunday. Pray for my husband. Pray for my husband. Pray for my children. Pray for my children. Pray for my grandchildren. Pray for my grandchildren. Pray for our family and all this stuff. Boy, they need to be here tonight, because you know what? Sometimes you need God to do something for somebody else. And in order to get that, you're going to have to pray. James chapter 5, look at verse 16. Well, let's just start with verse 14. I know we always read this when healing, but it's for anything. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. Now look at this. The effectual, that means it works. Fervent, that means hard working. Prayer of a righteous man, that's somebody that's right with God, availeth, that means carries a lot of weight, much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. In other words, he's just like us. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He held back the rain. Man just like me and you. How did he do it? He prayed. Then look at verse 18. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, sometimes we need to pray to get God to do something for others. That's what Elijah did. He prayed God hold back the rain in order to punish that old wicked king and Jezebel so they'd come around. And then when he got it all fixed, he prayed and the Lord sent rain. Now, he did that for others. He didn't need rain. God had given him a little brook for several years down there. And then when the brook dried up, he sent him to the widow lady, and she took care of him. God told Elijah to pray for those other people, see. And sometimes we need to pray to get the needs met of somebody else. And it's an effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person. Just anybody can't pray and get something to somebody else. I mean, there's people in this church that they can't pray and get anything for you because they ain't praying and getting anything for themselves yet. See? And so therefore, we as praying people, we need to earnestly, that means with all your might, earnestly, with all your heart, pray. And it works. It has effect. It's effectual. So sometimes, you know, we need to pray when you need God to do something for you or other people. Every day I pray for my children. And I know you do. I know you do. But I'm talking about effectual, fervent prayer. Every day I pray and I cry. And God, do this. And God, do that. And please, God, do this. Please, God, do that. And I believe God's going to do it. I believe He's going to do it. I've seen Him do it before. And sometimes I'll say, Lord, I prayed for others' children and you delivered them. You can deliver mine. Lord, I prayed for other people to get well and now I'm praying for mine. You can heal mine. Lord, I prayed for other people's children to get saved and other people's son-in-laws and all this stuff, you know. And Lord, I prayed for them and you do it. Lord, you can do it for me for mine. See, that's earnestly praying. Don't hurt you to cry a little bit. Most people don't cry except over some stupid TV program now. But always pray like this, and I'll quit. First Thessalonians didn't help fixing that clock at all, did it? First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Excuse me. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything give thanks, for thus is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning who? You. He wants you. Philippians, and you don't have to turn there, but Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says this: be careful for nothing, or don't worry about everything. Don't fret over it. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with what? Thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. Now, you know what we'll do? We'll always pray with thanksgiving. Jesus in that garden, sweating sweat as like great drops of blood. He was in such agony. He wasn't over the agony of going to the cross. That didn't bother him. Death didn't scare him. It was the agony of bearing the sins of the world. And he prayed. And he said, Father, let this cup pass from me, if thy will. But not thy will, not my will, but thy will be done, he said. In other words, he was saying, God, I don't like looking at this sin. It's all going to be on me. And if there's another way you can do it, that's fine. But if you don't, that's fine too. And listen, I think we'll be the same way and say, no matter what you do, I'm going to thank you for it anyway. I'm going to thank you for it anyway. Little old Chunky come in here. He was crying before he left Saturday. I went and grabbed him and hugged him, told him we love him, and I didn't want him to leave crying. And I brought him in here. I said, let me show you the church. You ever been to church? No. I said, let me show it to you. You can imagine how spooky that was, that little boy. And I brought him in here and I showed him. I said, that's where you'll go to Sunday school. Here's children's church over here. We got some candy. Sister Cheryl won't mind if I get some of her candy and give it to you. So I start giving him candy. He said, I don't eat that kind. So I hand him none. He said, I don't like that color. And I said, boy, I'm going to try one more time. You are the most unthankful bum I've ever seen in my life. I said, I'm trying to give you something, and you don't want this, you don't want that. Just take it. I think I scared him, but I got some chocolate out. He said, I eat that. But we'll not be like that with God. When God offers us something, we'll say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Whatever it is more than I deserve. Amen? I forgot where I was at yesterday. I walked in somewhere, and this woman said, how you doing? I said, a lot better than I deserve. And she looked at me and she said, "Don't say that." I said, "It's true." She said, "It's not." I said, "You don't know me." See, she don't know how to be thankful. I'm thankful. If he gives me a little rain, I'll praise him. Amen? If he decides it ain't time for me to get rain, I'll praise him. If he gives me a lot of rain, I'll praise him. Because I am thankful, because I know he's a high and holy God, and he doesn't have to answer not one of my prayers. I don't deserve not one answer. And thanks be unto God, he answers my prayers. Amen? So say, "Thank you, Lord." Now that's how you pray. I hope you pray this week. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Thank you that we can open this book and just find the answers to everything. And thank you that we can pray. You didn't just save us and throw us out there and let us go. You told us we ought not cease to pray. You told us we ought to pray and not faint. We ought not give up. You said if we'd call, you'd answer. So, Lord, thank you for people that we know that still pray, God. We've got some people here that pray. We've got some that believe in prayer. We've got some that pray for others as well as themselves. And, Lord, we've got some that will stand up and testify and be thankful out loud for the prayers you've answered in their life and others that they have prayed for. And we thank for our little church, Lord. And I pray for our congregation. Some of them's getting kind of worldly. Some of them's getting out there, Lord. I pray you'd bring them back in. Work on them this week, Lord. Put the love of Christ in their heart to where they can't resist to come. And then, Lord, I pray for these that are here tonight. You give us a good week. Help us walk in the Spirit and talk in the Spirit and think spiritual and be spiritual minded and not cease praying in everything we do. And we'll go ahead and thank for everything you do in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Get your song book. We're going to sing 143 real quick. I'll let you go. You ought to run that clock back 10 more minutes. 143. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of God.